New Year's resolutions. Why do people even make them? Why do you have to have a resolution to just do what you need to do to get something done? Mae McCarthy joins us in a moment on Coast to Coast. She was with me about a year or so ago as we talked about her work, The Path to Wealth. But we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, and I can't wait for your calls next hour when we get into that as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Mae McCarthy. Now, back in 1982, since then, Mae has founded and grown several successful companies in a variety of industries, fashion, retail, domestic, international telecommunications, and she has developed them and developed them well. And she's got the instincts to talk about all kinds of things. And what we're going to do for the next hour or so, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. Mae, welcome back, first of all. Happy holidays to you.
And happy holidays to you, George. Thanks for having me.
What a fast year. Where did the time go?
I don't know. It just seemed like it was the beginning of the year just yesterday.
It really does. And I don't know. Why does it seem like it just keeps going quicker and quicker and quicker?
I think we keep putting our attention on stuff that's going to happen in the future. I mean, I've got stuff booked out for the next 18 months. And because we're focusing so much on this future, we sort of miss this moment. You know, when it was so much easier when we were younger and could just hop on our bike and be carefree, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, so tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your entrepreneurial spirit, and some of the things you've done.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for the introduction. I have actually, as an adult, had 7 different companies. Many of them have been in high tech, as large as over 100 million in annual revenues. And really, it comes down to finding problems and creating solutions in a variety of industries. But when you start a business, you use the same kinds of skills regardless of the industry. So I've been very, very fortunate to partner up with some people who had some fabulous ideas and grow some terrific businesses and have some great profitable exits. What I'm doing now is not only touring for this book that I have out, The Path to Wealth, but there's another one coming out in 2017 that's going to get a little bit more scientific, which will be fun, figuring out how the brain works.
Oh, that'll be neat.
Yeah, very fun. So I travel around and do workshops for thousands of different people that come to my events, and that's great fun. I also really love entrepreneurship. So I spend a lot of time as an angel investor reviewing about 150 different business plans for early startup companies every year.
You should
year.
Be on the Sharks TV show, huh?
I'm shark like tank. A mini shark.
I love it. And you see some great ideas, I bet, cross your desk.
You know, I really do. And I like to play in healthcare, where my last two companies did really well. We had software and equipment for large hospital systems. And I'm just fascinated with the brilliant research that's being done in healthcare, not only on the software side, but also on devices. I mean, devices to help little kids that have ear infections, you know, help the doctors to diagnose things like that better, or to deliver drugs to be more effective in treating patients. I mean, it's just fascinating to me what they're coming up with.
I remember when one of our daughters had a little ear infection when she was a little kid, and the doctor suggested operating on her and putting tubes in her ear for the drainage. And I went, no way, she'll grow out of it. And she did. Mm-hmm. I just could not, in all conscience, have somebody put tubes in my little girl's ear like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because when they're screaming in pain, the doctor, you know, certainly takes that little light scope and looks in their ear. But then, you know, unless he sees something really obvious that's red, he's got to guess.
He's got to guess.
And hopefully this new technology that'll come out will give him some additional information to make him guess a little bit more accurately.
We're going to get into resolutions, but are you bullish on the next 4 years in this country? How do you feel about it?
Well, personally, I like that we're approaching 20,000 on the Dow. My portfolio looks pretty
good. It's weird.
I think a lot of people's retirement accounts are looking pretty good. You know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm very, very hopeful. We're in uncharted waters. That's for sure.
We sure are. We sure
And
are.
I think there's a lot of very, very smart business people that have been called to the table to be advisors. So, you know, this is different. This is not your career politician makeup. So it'll be interesting. I just got back from London, and it was really fascinating to talk to a number of the workers, you know, cab drivers, people in restaurants and things like that, who are all very interested in my opinion of what's going on. And I quickly asked them, you know, well, what's your opinion? And they said that they're hopeful as well, that, you know, America could become great again, whatever that means to them. So I think because it's still so unknown, all we can do really is be hopeful.
Well, and what's great is that they're aware of what's going on in this country. I think foreigners know more about us than we know about them.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of the driver's comments to me. He said, "We all know the name of the President of the United States, but we don't know the president of every other country." We have no idea.
No, I've done that with just the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, when he got elected. You know, everybody knew the name Bush or Obama, but, you know, not many people knew Justin Trudeau. It's interesting that it goes that way.
Well, thank God for Google. We can look it up just like that.
Yep, absolutely. Barry, let's talk about the New Year's resolutions. And my first question to you is, why even have a resolution? Why not? Why do you have to wait for a new year to do things that are important in your life, regardless of what it might be?
Probably because of the hangover from the night before.
You think?
Yeah, they're just beating themselves up from, you know, all the holiday food and drink, and they've just, you know, got to get their life together.
But no, seriously, I mean, why do you need that new year? Why don't you just do it, like, right now?
Well, that's it. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think goals should be reviewed every single day. However, I think it's become a tradition, honestly. I think... you know, the new year is a new birth of something, and you should probably have some intentions or resolutions or goals as part of this tradition for a new birth, a new opportunity. I think that's why people do it, and it's because of tradition more than anything.
Well, you look at this as a business person. And do you think people should set these goals as a business person and methodically carry them out?
Well, you know, most of us in business don't just set goals once a year. I mean, we are constantly reviewing our goals. And what's interesting that we do in business that, you know, average people don't do is when we set a goal, we're describing what the future looks like for our company. We're saying that, you know, in 3 months, 6 months, 5 years, whatever the time periods are, we are projecting where we're going to be growth-wise for our company. So we're always looking at the completed goal in the future. And, you know, that's the premise that I use when I talk to people about creating other kinds of goals, is, you know, if you want a healthier body, if you want right relationships with family and friends, if you want more money, you know, describe it just like we do in business, as though it's already complete, with gratitude. That'll stimulate your intuition and your subconscious to point out a whole lot more possibilities than if you're just wanting to achieve something.
I noticed something years ago, too, on New Year's Eve with the people they were out with, either the wives and couples and people, and they were on the dance floor or something. And as we got close to midnight, almost all of them, May, almost all of them had that look of, woo, I'm glad this year is gone. Every year, the same thing. I'm glad this year is gone. Does anybody ever have a good year?
I do. And I know lots of people that do. Gosh, you know, I
have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed it, but I'm going to look for it at the New Year's Eve party that I go to.
Yeah, wherever you go, just kind of look around. And, you know, it depends on the crowd you're into. You know, if everybody you go to at the party is successful, most of them are going to think they had a good year. But
yeah.
Generally, the rank and file or the middle class will say, I'm glad this year is gone. And, you know, when we take calls, that'll be one of the questions I ask them.
Yeah.
Are they glad that this year is gone? And I think a lot of people would say the same thing, that they are.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear their answers as well. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that somehow the year ended up being more of a struggle than they thought. And perhaps they, you know, didn't feel as fulfilled and satisfied and prosperous. It'll be interesting to hear that answer.
Can people apply some of the techniques that you've used in your own career successfully in business to their own personal lives? So maybe they're not going to run a business or make money doing it, but can they run their lives that way, the same way?
I believe they can. I certainly do, and have for a very, very long time. And as I continue to share this information and these techniques with, like I said, thousands of people around the country, the reports I'm getting via email and Facebook and whatnot are that, yeah, they're achieving some pretty interesting results. I know one woman who had been told ever since she was a little girl that her grandparents and her parents and her older siblings all were diagnosed with diabetes, and it was hereditary, and so she, therefore,
was going
to have diabetes. And she decided that that wasn't something that she wanted. So she used these techniques to proclaim what her wonderful life would be like as a diabetes-free, healthy person. And she started writing that down every single day and reading it out loud and imagining seeing herself in a healthy body. And she went out to talk to people who also had family members with diabetes, but they were healthy and they hadn't been diagnosed with it. So she made it really familiar to her. As she did that, what ended up happening is she became as successful as the people that had avoided diabetes.
Interesting take. So
yeah.
in these situations of setting goals, do you think people should take a look at their life, make some decisions of what they want to change in their life, and then go for it?
Yeah, and not only what they want to change, but what they want to achieve. And they can ask themselves some questions. You know, if their goal has to do with money or health or relationships or using their skills and talents in business, ask the question, if I achieve the goal that I have, where would I be? What would I be doing? What would I be experiencing? You know, what's my life like? And then be grateful for that. You're going to kind of freak out your rational mind, because your rational mind's going to want to call you a fraud for being grateful for, I call it that, the fraud factor. Because you're going to use, in the practice, you use a technique to be grateful for having already achieved the goal that you want. And it takes a little getting used to, kind of like riding a bike.
Mae McCarthy with us, author of the book, The Path to Wealth. You have a story of a startup company, and you had goals to reach certain revenues with that. Tell me what you did and how you got to it.
Oh, gosh, I have so many. But one in particular, when I describe my goals as already completed with gratitude and I review them daily, what that's doing is it's keeping them at the forefront of my thoughts. I am setting the tone for my day. I'm not just waiting to hear all the, you know, disastrous things that are going on around in the world and getting distracted. I'm actually programming my brain for success. And so one of my goals in my early startup business, a couple of businesses ago, was to have a minimum or more of $400,000 in revenue in a particular period of time. And I kept using that technique that I described to write it down, read it out loud, imagine it, and I had this really strong thought of this woman that I knew that I had as a customer, you know, years ago. And I thought of her, and so I tried to track her down and was told that she left the business, and so I looked for her old cell phone number and got a hold of her. And she had taken a job at a new health system that was much larger. She was so excited because when she came into the company, she had already had budget approval to implement all of our products and services, and she was ready to get started right away and had an order for me for over $400,000.
Wow. And you didn't even know that she was going to approach you at the time.
No idea.
Wow.
Didn't even know she left. But what'll happen is this idea is as you're, well, think about this, George. Do you remember the last time you bought a car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what ends up happening is you start thinking about a car, you maybe, like most people, you go test drive a car, and you're imagining yourself already in the car that you want. Didn't you start to notice that car driving around everywhere on the road?
You see them everywhere.
Exactly. Well, that's what we're trying to do with this practice, is we want our subconscious and this idea of intuition, which is simply an intelligence that you can't see that runs within you. It's in your gut, as gut instincts, thoughts fly into your head, but it's beyond your rational mind. We want to enable those things to show up to help us. So we're sort of tricking our rational mind by describing our goal is already complete with gratitude. Then, you know, we start to notice that car driving around everywhere.
And
notice possibilities.
And when people set these goals, do you have to like meditate on it? What do you do?
Well, I call it a 7-step process, but really you need to spend about 30 minutes every morning having a meeting with yourself. In this meeting, you're doing a goal attainment practice, which is to read something to put you in a inspirational mood. And I recommend books that have stories, short stories, about the kind of success you want to achieve. All right? So people that are achieving the same kind of success, you want to have that too and make it familiar to you. Then you write out a gratitude letter being grateful for what you have and for being grateful for what you want, but you describe it as though it's already completed. The next thing is read what you wrote out loud, because they tell you when you read something out loud, it anchors it more fully within you.
Sure does.
If you use that gratitude emotion, it also lights up that front part of your brain. A lot of brain research has shown that using gratitude and positive expectations releases dopamine in that front part of your brain, and that helps you to notice possibilities and focus. And then finally, the fourth thing that you do in that little 30-minute meeting is to use a technique that professional athletes, musicians, and even business people use. We imagine seeing ourselves in the completed goal. So
that's important.
See yourself around the boardroom table, nodding your head in agreement, working well with the company that you want to acquire, or you're sitting around a table with a family member that's been estranged and seeing yourself having a harmonious and fun time together. Whatever your goal is.
All right, hold on, May. We're going to come back, hit the break next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, share with us your most outrageous New Year's resolution and then whatever happened. We'll take your call when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, May McCarthy with us as we talk about New Year's resolutions. What percent, May, this is just a guess, of the people who make resolutions follow through and make them happen in that year?
Oh, gosh, I'd say less than 25%.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that give up on them because life gets in the way,
them
incorrectly. Or the goals were so much bigger than they believe was possible in the first place. You know, they create a goal that their brain is saying, I remember every time you had a goal that you didn't make, and consequently you were disappointed. I'm just going to put all possibilities on mute and get you back to a safe place and not let you take any steps towards this goal. So you're essentially running around in the dark with this goal that's way too big for you.
Do you find that successful business people outline their goals for their business the same way they do for their lives? Do they do the same thing?
I believe that they do in most areas of their lives. It's kind of like a computer software package. You know, we might know how to operate Excel and Word and PowerPoint really, really well, but we don't understand how to operate that one program that comes with the package because we very rarely visit it. So there are people that are really successful in finances and businesses, but not so successful in relationships. And mainly, it's because they haven't decided to define what success in relationship means. You know, so if we define what the outcome is in each major area of our life, we can live a pretty balanced life, I think.
Now, in your book, The Path to Wealth, you talk about 7 spiritual steps for financial abundance. Buzz through them real quickly for us.
Okay, well, the first 4 were what I described. Mm-hmm. Schedule a meeting with yourself in the morning. You read something inspirational to put you in a receptive mood. Step 2 is writing out that gratitude letter, what you're grateful for that you have, what you're grateful for that you want, but describe it as though it's already complete. Then the next step is to read it out loud with emotion and really anchor it more fully within you so that when you're going out through the day, you've stimulated your subconscious and intuition to show up and point you along the path to achieve your goals. And then finally, use that imaging, that visualization to see yourself in the completed goal. Make it real to you. So that's what happens in the morning. And then throughout the day, you do steps 5 and 6. One is you're expecting and watching for those leads, for that intuition and subconscious messaging to show up. You might get a gut instinct to do something, go somewhere, call someone. You might have a strong thought I had a thought to drive across town in Cleveland at 9 o'clock at night to a grocery store that was well out of my way, only to run into a potential customer that was walking out of the store at exactly the same time. That ended up being over $500,000 contract within a short period of time after being invited to the presentation. So you're going to get these ideas that your rational mind's going to try and tuck you out of, but don't do it. Just take the step or ask that, you know, intuitive self, say, hey, if this is from you, intuitive mind, I need another lead. You know, Albert Einstein actually said that we have an intuitive mind, but we also have this rational mind. And if we could somehow figure out a way to honor this intuitive mind instead of the rational mind, we would have access to things that were beyond our rational mind, and intelligence that was beyond what we could consider possible. And Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, Thomas Edison all have said that they've relied on this unseen intelligence, this intuitive sense, as part of their success tool. Box, and I have to agree, I do as well. And then the very last step, which is the 7th step, happens right before you go to bed. And that's where you just proclaim gratitude for whatever's on the top of your head, just to put you in that good mood again. And you proclaim out loud that if there's anything within you that isn't serving you that could be released so that you have more room to receive the good stuff that you want, you just now release it. It's done, it's gone, and it's taken out of you and put over here on the side. Now, it may need a little of additional attention at a later date, but all I'm concerned about is that people make room to receive what they want to receive. And if you're filled up to the brim with no room, you can't receive anything more.
So does luck play a part in any of this?
You know, I think that I will call luck opportunity. What's lucky to one person is simply, you know, an opportunity for another person. I think we can increase luck, we can increase opportunities, we can increase possibilities by using this daily practice to prime our brain for success. You know, in science, they say that we've come to this stage in our lives, having created and lived really strong beliefs and behaviors. You know, we've learned since we were a little kid some beliefs and behaviors that we've carried throughout our adult life. And science has shown that those are tied to what are called neural pathways in your brain. And the ones that are really strong, those beliefs that are super strong, are kind of like grooves in your brain. The good news about that is that through a repetitive goal attainment practice like this one, you can strengthen a different neural pathway to be stronger than the old belief. And once that happens, you start to notice even more possibilities and intuitive messages to help you to achieve your goal.
All right, let's take some calls. Mary in East Los Angeles, out there in California. Hi, Mary, go ahead.
Well, I have so much to be grateful for every day. And today, especially, Dorianna came home. I had found her. You know, I find people that need a home. And we just loved her so much. And then she just disappeared and she left all her clothing. She got out of jail and she came home for Christmas and she's in my living room now. And I just want you to know that that God is wonderful to give us this present for Christmas. And I agree with her that when you set your mind to what you want, it's like you're obsessed with it. But if it's a good thing you want, somehow the heavens open up. And you get whatever it is that Jesus wants for you for his birthday. Or, you know, God is so good.
And well, that'll happen. I mean, if you set those goals and you stick to it, your ideals are going to happen. But I keep coming back, May, to the possibility that you don't have to wait for a new year to start doing these things.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I'm not sure why people do that. I love in about July asking people if they know where the list is that they wrote down in January. And about half of them say that they do know where it is. But I think half of them actually really don't.
Was there ever a moment in your career, in your life, when you didn't think these worked for you?
You know, I had a belief at one time, a very strong belief, that you had to work really, really, really hard to be successful. And so I had to work hard to be successful and consequently sacrifice a balanced life in relationship. I had been taught that. I saw my parents demonstrate that. All my friends that were entrepreneurs did the same thing. So that was a very strong belief of mine. And it wasn't easy to give that up. And consequently, it affected this idea of relationships. Once I recognized, as I matured a little bit more, and I, you know, achieved every other goal that I had ever had, I decided that, well, maybe I'll try it for these other areas as well. You know, now that I know a little bit about science, I'm going to see if I can change that and create a new belief that's stronger. So my goal became that, you know, life and business are fun, easy, hugely profitable, cash flow positive, and that I operate giant, growing, debt-free, cash flow positive and profitable companies that support other customers and coworkers and vendors and suppliers in our world in really wonderful ways while living a very, very balanced life where I could be very present and participate in family events and we all have a great time.
You've got it down.
And that's what ended up happening.
When you were a little girl, were you organized this way?
Oh, you know, I was the last of 10 kids raised on the beach in Hawaii.
What island were you on?
Oahu.
Well, that's a great island.
Yeah, in a little town called Kailua. My dad was the town doctor.
Did he do house calls?
You know, he did sometimes. I mean, he moved over, my mom and he, with 7 kids, moved over in 59. And then they had 3 more kids. while we were there.
He wanted a big lifestyle change, I guess, huh? Or was he in the Navy?
No, he got caught. He and my mom got caught in a snowstorm driving from Wisconsin to Chicago for a conference.
Welcome to the Midwest. And he said, that's it, right?
Well, Kaiser had been trying to recruit him. And so he finally said, yeah, I'll come. And when he got there, he really fell in love with the people, fell in love with the beauty.
Yeah, they're good people.
It really was like a big family.
Let's go to Beverly in Buffalo, New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Bev, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was in an accident 2 years ago. My Toyota accelerator stuck, and the brake wouldn't work.
Oh.
And I ended up, rather than kill the people in front of me, I went down an embankment. And the next thing I remember is that the airbag broke. Well, I came out of five days in a coma, told me I had a 50-50 chance of living, and they operated on me. And they finally discharged me, and I'm in a home now, and I've learned how to walk.
And when did this happen, Bev?
September 5th, 2014.
Jeez, just a few years ago. Okay.
Just a few years ago, they kept me in the nursing home after I finished with rehab and everything else, and they said they wouldn't discharge me until I learned how to walk. Well, they never taught me how to go up and down stairs.
Can I ask how old you were when the accident happened?
Yeah, I was 73. I'm 73.
Whoa! Now.
Yes. And so breaking 128 bones out of 206, you know I'm grateful.
That's
and
your
I'm
resolution.
After 2 years of not walking, I can walk without a walker now.
Good for you.
And do exercising. And I do I'm 43 years sober this week from alcohol, and I use the steps there. I've lost 120 pounds, and I am so grateful. And I've listened to you, George Norrie. When I was in the nursing home, I had a little portable radio and earphones.
Great.
And you were my university of the universe.
Well, Bev, I'm glad things are going well for you.
Enjoyed it. I mean, every night.
Good for you.
And I listen to you now.
All right, thanks. You keep healing. That's great. That's just a wonderful story of success. And in her 70s.
I love it.
I mean, so that's another interesting facet of all of this, May. It doesn't matter how old you are.
It doesn't. In fact, I'm recalling a woman that sounds very similar to her that attended one of my workshops. And I always ask people, well, you know, does anybody want to share what one of your goals are? And the group that had hired me happened to have a belief in spirituality. And this woman said her goal was to be spiritually creative. I said, really? And, you know, she was retired and she was there with her friends. And I said, can I use you as an example? And I asked the rest of the workshop if anybody with a show of hands could help this woman with advice to be spiritually creative. And no hands went up because it's too vague. So I asked her to do me a favor. I said, if you met your goal, I want you to imagine laying in bed one night, and you've got this big smile on, grin, you know, this huge grin on your face because you met your goal to be spiritually creative. What happened to make you believe that you met your goal? And we'll come back to you. So we came back later, and sure enough, she's so cute. She's sitting there with this huge smile on her face, just beaming and ready to pop. And I said, do you know? And she said, yes. If I had reached my goal to be spiritually creative, my artwork would be hanging in a minimum of 15 locations for sale and on note cards and T-shirts, and I would be receiving at least $3,000 in extra income every month. But here's the best part. Once a week, at least once a week, someone would contact me and say that because they saw my artwork, they felt inspired to create their own. That would be spiritually creative. So then I asked the people in the workshop, I said, how many of you can give her some advice now? Almost every hand went up. Somebody knew a restaurant that she could hang her artwork in on consignment. Another person knew an online note card company. Another person knew a T-shirt manufacturer. And the list went on and on. Imagine what her intuitive mind is going to lead her to do. And I've since talked to her, and she's exceeded that goal. It's wonderful.
How much of this is positive thinking?
You know, well, you have to have a positive frame of mind. You have to have positive expectations that you are going to get some leads. What I like to tell people is you want to imagine it as though a partnership. You've got your job, and this you know, intelligence, this which you can give a name to, that has its job. Your job is to figure out what you want. The
good
job
point.
Of how to get it, that's up to this intelligence, this source of intuition and your subconscious.
We go next to Becky in Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Becky, go ahead.
Yes, I'll tell you about my miracle.
All right, what happened?
I went to church one Sunday, and there was a guy being baptized.
All right.
And it happened to be my son that I have been trying to find for 42 years.
Oh, my gosh. You just stumbled into him.
Yeah.
Now, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Huh. They work in mysterious ways, May, don't they?
Well, you know, when I'm working with the groups that are spiritually inclined, what I like to do is remind them that miracles are simply extraordinary events that happen. You know, and if they believe that it's due to divine intervention, you know, I think that's great. But this particular goal attainment practice will enable miracles or seeming miracles to happen so often that they just become typical occurrences in your life. So we can actually use this to turn miracles into typicals.
Did you ever get to a point where you, without being religious here, maybe spiritual, had to really call on God for help?
Yeah, well, I was raised Catholic.
Wow,
so
me too.
I learned the begging technique. You know, begging God for
please.
Help.
You know, like, I'll go to church next week. I promise.
Oh, yeah, bargaining.
And then you don't go,
oh, my
right?
Goodness. The problem with that, George, is that you're focusing on the problem. For instance, when I was 19, I had a business with about 250 employees. And I had this one sales model who really upset all the other coworkers, all the other sales.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, and so my prayer at that particular time was, please don't let this sales model be a problem tonight. Guess what?
There was no problem.
No, the sales model was a problem tonight because I was focusing on the sales model being a problem.
All right, see, you created it. May, thanks for being on the program. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great Christmas. Up next, open lines on Coast to Coast AM, plus Crazy Night. I want you to share the craziest thing that's ever happened to you. Plus open lines next on Coast to Coast AM.